Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Henry Will, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call. This is February the 12th, 2009. This will be podcast number 57, and I'm welcoming you to the PM Job Shop call. The PM Job Shop call is one where we share information for project managers and those interested in project management, trying to find out about how to network, how to find jobs, and more information for your project management career. We'll be starting up in just a second, but before we do, I just wanted to make one quick announcement. I want everybody to know that there are actually two Yahoo group lists that you could subscribe to. There's one for the greater group, or the bigger group, if you want to call it that, which is the PM Lessons Learned Yahoo group. And then there's also another Yahoo group that's specifically for the PM Job Shop group. So I hope that you'll join both of those groups, especially if you're interested in all the information that is shared on these PM Job Shop calls. We actually have three calls a month. The first one is the first Thursday every month. That's the one about PMP exam study group. The second one is this PM Job Shop call on the second Thursday. And on the third Thursday every month, we have our PM Best Practices call. You can join us for all the calls. Everything that we do is free, and it's all run by volunteers. We're a volunteer group of PMs helping out PMs. Please get involved. And I guess one other thing that I'd like to mention is that we also have a LinkedIn group. We have a LinkedIn group for PM Lessons Learned, and we're just starting up a PM Job Shop group, too, on LinkedIn to allow us to share information about job openings. So you might be interested in joining them as well, and there's information about all these, as well as information about the recordings and the MP3s of all of our past calls. All of that is available on our website. I want to turn things over now because I know that Mike and Scott both have a great presentation planned this evening. So Mike and Scott, take it away.
Thank you, Henry. Welcome, everybody. This is Scott Percival. I guess what I want to say is last month I kind of talked about a little bit about marketing yourself and selling yourself. If you were a salesman with a widget, how would you find clients to sell your widget to? And I suggested that you think of yourself as that widget that you're trying to sell. And I was at a networking event last night, and the speaker brought a couple websites to my attention, and I wanted to share them with you so that maybe, you know, you could check them out and maybe market yourself better to the companies. You have to do the research, and it's definitely hard work. And one of the sites she mentioned, in fact, I should say this first, PM Lessons Learned is a global community, but I'm in New Jersey. So these sites that I'm going to mention, some of them are probably just in this local area, but I'm sure if you did the research, you could probably find other similar sites from around the world. The one I want to mention was NJ.com, which is just newspapers. If you look at what's happening with the government and that kind of stuff, with money going into the government, if you look at these newspapers, you're going to find places that you can market yourself to. There are people hiring, okay? Even though there's layoffs and it's difficult, there are people hiring, and it's up to you to find these companies and market to those companies. So one of the big companies that, one of the places I'd like you to consider is NJ.com, which is a bunch of newspapers. The other one that I'd like you to look at is Best Places to Work in NewJersey.com. And these are websites that I, you know, haven't paid much attention to, but I'm going to start. And the last one, which is very interesting, is newseum.org. And I'm going to spell it for you. It's www.newseum.org. And what's interesting about this website is it has close to 500 front pages of newspapers in 49 countries. You can find local papers for New Jersey, and I'm sure around the world. And again, if you're looking for companies that are, hiring and in business to, to make their company grow, then the front pages of these newspapers might be a good place to look. The last thing that I guess I wanted to say, and it's kind of affected me a little bit, is when the economy was booming, companies were looking for headcounts. Okay, they would just hire people. These days, though, they're really looking for the leaders, and there's an expression out there that says people know who are swimming naked when the tide goes out. And I think the tide has gone out in our economy. I think everybody would agree. So you have to think of yourself, what are you going to do as a leader if you're working, or what are you going to do as a leader if you're looking for a job? If you are working, are you going to try to stay low and under the radar, or are you going to make yourself seen as a leader and really promote and work hard to these things? Because that's what the companies are looking for. That being said, Mike and I always try to find new and different speakers to our group. I think you can find a lot of information about resumes and that kind of thing. I happened to see Dr. Sally Wright a couple months ago, probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I thought her talk, The 10 Commandments of the Job Search, was very, very interesting. I think I was guilty of it, just sitting behind the computers, and I think Dr. Sally kind of opened my eyes to a few other aspects of the job search. So without further ado, I think I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Sally. Take it away. Oh, one other thing. Everybody, please make this an interactive call. I promised Dr. Sally that I would make a copy of this in a CD, and I'm sure she would appreciate as much interaction as possible. So take it away, Dr. Sally.
Thank you very much, Scott. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dr. Sally Wright. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. I spent about 15 years as an active duty Army officer, and after that came to be a psychologist in a VA hospital in New Jersey. And there, my job is to help people with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression find jobs. And let me tell you, if I can help them find jobs, I can definitely help you find jobs. So in my private practice, I run an organization called Wellspring Resources Unlimited, and my partner and I are doing what we call two community outreach things right now, which are written into our organizational charter. One is, if anyone is at all interested in any kind of individual coaching or therapy, feels like they're somehow psychologically stuck, then we offer that, and our first consult is free. It's a half an hour, and we try to help you determine what your problems are and which direction you would like to go in. The second thing that we do is community outreach for people who, in this economy, are looking for work. So that's one of the reasons that that Scott and I determined that this would be a really good talk for you tonight, the 10 Commandments of Job Search. But before we begin, I just want to give you two pieces of information. One of them is my phone number of my office, and that is 908-782-5989. And the second one is my email address, which is dr, for doctor, drsally1. At comcast.net. Is there anyone who needs that repeated? Okay.
We can try it again at the end of the phone call. We might have other people join us. So.
Sure. And also what I would advise that you do is, if you're in on the conference call and you have background noise in your home or in the area where you are, just to be considerate to others, press *6, and that will mute you. And then when you'd like to speak, press *7, and that will take you off of mute so that you can be active in the conference call. All right? All right, without any further ado, I'd like to get into the 10 Commandments of Job Search. Now, I have to tell you that I deliberately did not give you handouts and a lot of printed material tonight. And I didn't do that because, as a psychologist, we're very interested in research studies. The research shows that if people are engaging in learning, the more active they are, the more they retain. So if someone is just listening, they retain something like 15% an hour after the conference is over. If someone is listening and taking notes, they retain something like 45%. And if they go back later and review their notes, then several days later they retain about 70% of the information. So that's why I didn't give you the handouts, but I will tell you that if you would like a copy of this talk, And the handouts that go with it. I have a pre-call plan set up, a daily schedule that would be a good job search schedule. If you'd like copies of those, just send me an email at drsally1@comcast.net, and I will send you all of the handouts plus a copy of the talk. All right? Okay, so the bad news is there are lots and lots of competent, qualified workers getting downsized and laid off and losing jobs right now. Many people are changing careers midstream, and hirers are routinely getting 60 or more resumes for a position. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the statistic that more than 99% of all resumes go into the trash. So there's a lot of bad news out there about the economy and the rate of joblessness going up and many, many things that would make you discouraged. However, there is also a great deal of good news out there, and I would tell you this. Because so many workers are being downsized or are changing careers, being in between jobs is not seen as the negative that it would have been seen a year ago. Let's face it, half of Darien, Connecticut is out of work. Most of the people in Darien, Connecticut worked on Wall Street, and now they are struggling to find jobs. A lot of the people in Palm Beach who were victims of the Bernie Madoff scandal now have to go back to work because the $15 million that they'd invested with him is all gone. Right, so people are going back into the job search market in droves, and you, as someone who's looking for a job, will not stand out in any way, even if you have lapses in your resume. And we can talk about those later. All right, but so many workers are being downsized or changing careers that being seen in between jobs is not a negative. Also, understand that 60% of all jobs come from networking or personal marketing. The harder you work at these things, the more successful your job search will be. And make no mistake, there are jobs out there. You just need to look a little harder and prepare a little better than the people around you, and that's what we're going to be talking about. 30% of all jobs are now gained from the internet, and this can be an enormous time saver and an enormous time waster. So I'm going to be talking to you about how to use the internet. And the last thing I would tell you about good news is the Chinese character for the word crisis is the same as the character for the word opportunity. So take a look at this as an opportunity, and let me give you 10 principles which, if you follow them daily, should net you multiple offers. Remember, that is your goal, not just a job to pay your bills, but multiple offers so that you can choose between jobs, locations, benefits, personal satisfaction. We want you to get more than one job offer. Now, number one, and the most important one. Now, remember, when I give you these 10 points, I'm actually giving you two things. One is that I'm giving you a psychological orientation toward your job search. This is the way that you need to think about job search. This is the mindset that you need to have to be successful. All right. Now, there are people out there who are going to luck into great jobs, but they are few and far between in this economy, and that is the reality. You're going to have to earn every job offer that you get. So, the most important one, treat your job search like a job. Again, I'm giving you a psychological orientation and a set of 10 strategies. Two levels, the microcosm and the macrocosm. Number one, treat your job search like a job. If you are unemployed, you should be spending 7 to 8 hours a day on job search activities, and I'll outline in a little bit what those are. If you are employed part-time, you should be spending 4 to 6 hours per day on job search activities. If you're employed or in school and are looking for another job, you should be spending 2 to 3 hours per day on job search. If you do these minimums, you will be above the competition. But remember that you have to earn each and every job offer. Are there any questions at all about number one, treat your job search like a job? All right.
Dr. Sally, will you go into some of the specifics of 8 hours a day? I mean,
absolutely. Yes, I'm going to talk about them now. Good. All right. Number two, use the internet optimally. There are now more than 40,000 internet job and career sites, and the truth is that it can be enormously, enormously helpful, but the internet can also be overwhelming and a huge time waster. So what you want to do on the internet is make sure that you use it optimally and are not wasting your time. To take the guesswork out of the process of using the internet, use the best tools to harness the power of the internet. First of all, I would advocate that you register on all of the big three, Monster.com, CareerBuilder, and Yahoo Hotjobs. All right, 22% of all the jobs found on the internet come from those sites. So you should register on all three of them because they do overlap, but they don't completely overlap.
What was the third one?
Monster.com, CareerBuilder, and Hotjobs.
Hotjobs.
Mm-hmm. Number two, use one or two job search aggregators. And a job search aggregator is a search engine. Okay, it's a job integrator search engine. And they're free, and they take virtually seconds to use. Okay, and they are search engines just for jobs, not like Google is a search engine for everything on the planet or Dogpile or something like that. They are search engines specifically for jobs, and there are three of them. And probably you know about them, but I just want to make sure that you're using them. One is Indeed.com. One is SimplyHired.com. And one is Jobster.com. Used to be WorkZoo.
What was that again?
Jobster.com.
Jobster.
And as I said, they are free and they take seconds to use. And in the job search aggregators, some of the jobs are way out of date. But others, small companies, sometimes post on the aggregators and they do not send to CareerBuilder or Monster.com. Like I said, they're free. They take seconds to use. In the first box, you just type a job title or some keywords. And in the second, you type a city, state, or zip code. For example, I typed psychologist in New Jersey and I got 92 listings for psychologists in New Jersey. Then I typed in psychologist and Alaska, and I got 22 listings. However, only four of them were jobs. So you have to use them judiciously. But if you permanently register on any of the three, you'll be notified automatically of any new positions that meet your keyword search criteria. So this is a way that you can wake up in the morning and your job search has done some of the work for you in the night. Wake up in the morning and some of the offers that you would be interested in, your permanent registration has acted as a filter to filter those out and send them to your internet. All right, so I've already said register on the big three and then use one or two of the job aggregators, Indeed.com, SimplyHired.com, or Jobster.com. The next thing I would tell you to use is niche boards. Niche, N-I-C-H-E. And niche boards are specialty job boards that focus on a specific segment of the job-seeking population. And I believe Scott just told you about a couple of ones that are specific for PMs that you can go to and find the kinds of jobs specifically that you're listing for. Niche boards account for 16.9% of all jobs found on the internet, so that's a pretty big piece of the pie. And you can speed up the search on niche boards by using directories. And there's one called nicheboards.com, and there's one called airsdirectory.com, airsdirectory.com. And they're well worth looking into. So use the big three, then use job search aggregators, then use niche boards, and, of course, use company websites. Company websites account for 53% of all jobs found on the internet. It can be very time-consuming to go through company websites. Pick target industry members in your preferred geographical area. And do not forget, lest you think it's overly popular and overused, don't forget the good old Google search engine. All right, any questions about any of the things that I've covered so far? Because I've covered about four of the main points. Any questions so far?
Yeah, Dr. Sally, I had one question about using those big three.
Yes.
Are you asking just to set up a job alert, or are we talking about posting the resume there?
Oh, both. All right. Now, what I would advocate that you do, do both, is that you keep a copy of your resume, just a text-only copy of your resume somewhere on your computer. And what you'll find is, even though it isn't formatted or anything, as you're posting information on different websites, you can pull pieces of your text-only, non-formatted resume and stick those into the blocks. So I would say post your resume there, number one, all right, and also apply through there. Use it as much as you can use it.
Dr. Sally, I think it's also important when you apply to these jobs that if somebody, a recruiter, sees your resume, they may call you. But as time goes by, your resume falls down to the bottom of the list, so to speak. So you're no longer having a resume.
Yes.
So the suggestion is to go in there and maybe put a space in between a word and resave it. Once you resave it, you're back at the top of the list again.
Yes, that's an absolutely good idea. Yeah, those little tricks of the trade are enormously, enormously important when you're working something like this. Now, they won't get you jobs, but they certainly will help. Okay? All right, number three, stay abreast of your industry's literature, the news in general, and business news in particular. Stay abreast of your industry's literature, the news in general, and business news in particular. And here I'm talking about trade publications, publications like Business Week, the daily paper in your area, and one of the very large papers. For anyone at all in IT or any kind of financial industry, I would say the Wall Street Journal, also the Washington Post, and the New York Times are also very, very good papers. So one big one. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to spend 15 hours a day reading newspapers, but scan them, be abreast of the contents, and know what is in them. Just to give you an example, I hire psychologists for our hospital, and we had 96 job applicants for one position, and it was so difficult to find a discriminator among all of these really bright young people. We asked a lot of questions. Almost everyone answered them correctly. The young psychologists coming out with PhDs from a number of the programs are quite good. And we were sort of looking at each other, wondering, how in the world are we going to pick someone? Well, another candidate came in, and she answered everything beautifully. Then my boss asked a question, which he had been asking all along, which really stumped a number of the applicants. He said, he talked about something that was very important in psychology today, which is the idea of giving psychologists prescription privileges. Now, normally prescriptions are given by psychiatrists who are medical doctors. In many places where medical doctors aren't plentiful, they're talking about giving psychologists prescription privileges. This young woman said, she said, you know, I've read widely on that issue because I'm very interested in what's in the field. She said there was a really good article a couple of weeks ago in the APA Monitor, which is the trade publication for psychologists. And she said, and what the article said, and what I completely agree with, is if you're going to give psychologists prescription privileges, then you'd better make sure that they're absolutely well-trained in medicine. And the rigors of that should be very severe. She walked out, and my boss said, I say we give the job to her. And that was because she had stayed abreast of her industry's literature. Now, it was one question, and it was just something that, you know, none of us would have thought that it would be a discriminator, but we had a lot of good people, and she stood out because she had stayed abreast of her industry's literature. I was on a town council about 10 years ago, and we were interviewing for a new chief of police. And we had a number of policemen on the force who were excellent, had gone to get their degrees, were well qualified, and they all came in, looked good for the job. Then we had an outsider come in simply because we had said we'd like to have one outsider just to say we're not always being partial. This man came in, and I have to tell you, in about 5 minutes, he had sold us all on that job because he said, I understand that you're a small community but growing. I also understand that the town next to you has a huge gang population which is active in alcohol and drugs and that their young people often go astray. He said, I've studied criminology, I've studied alcohol and drugs, and I myself have a CADC. I've developed a plan where we can go into the schools and educate the youth of this community on staying away from alcohol and drugs. And he then told us step by step his plan, which was low budget and very effective, and he won us all over. And if you're looking for another example of something like that, just take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won the Super Bowl just a couple of weeks ago, if any of you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Art Rooney had decided that, you know, he was going to interview someone from another race and outside the Pittsburgh Steelers organization simply because that was one of the rules of the NFL. He had two fine coaches that he could have chosen as head coach, but he was looking for someone like Chuck Knoll, to have a dynasty because the coaches there had just done so well, all right? And in walked Mike Tomlin, who was 36 years old, in fact, younger than a lot of the players. But Mike Tomlin gave such an exacting and wonderful philosophy for bringing out the best potential in every single player that after about a half an hour, Art Rooney said, none of the other people, I want this man. The other two coaches went to the St. Louis Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals, they met in the Super Bowl and the rest is history. So what you know going in the door can really make a difference in whether you are the one person who stands out from the pack or not. So stay abreast of your industry's literature. So now you know that one of the things you're going to be doing as a part of your job search is staying abreast of that literature and not thinking that you know everything that you need to know about your job. Constantly, constantly stay abreast. All right, any questions so far?
No, but I would like to interject another website, which I think is phenomenal. It's another aggregator.
Okay.
It's called CEO Express.
Oh, yeah. I heard of that one recently. Okay.
Okay, and it's excellent. You'll find on there Harvard Business Review. You'll find different newspapers on there. Business Week is on there. I think Newsweek is on there. You can find financial calculators on there. And it goes out and it just aggregates a bunch of stuff. And I think it's, you know, again, if you're trying to stay abreast of what's happening in the business community, like some of the other websites that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that would be another place to start.
That's a good idea.
So that we get all the... So we get all the spellings right on these. Could you post this to the Yahoo group? All these
sure.
websites?
Sure, and I'll send it to you, Scott. I will. I will send this, all of this. I'll send a copy of the lecture to you.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, all right.
And this is Mike, real quick. If you do look on the website, we do have a links portion of the homepage of our Yahoo group, and there are specific project management career sites on those on that home page. So
good.
To take a look at.
That's something you should be hitting every other day. All right.
Okay.
Number four, know what networking is and what it isn't. So let's talk for a minute about networking, because that's not point number four, and it's very important. What networking is connecting with people and then nurturing the resulting relationships. It's also tapping into a hidden job market. It's learning about career fields and jobs. It's pulling resources from an ever-growing number of sources that you gather onto yourself. It's expanding your contacts, and it's an extremely efficient job search strategy. That's all what networking is, connecting with people and then nurturing the resulting relationships and tapping into a hidden job market. Learning, gathering what you know, gathering contacts. Networking is not, one, asking for a job, two, an interview for employment, three, a guarantee of employment or employability, four, business card swapping, or five, cold calling. Now, the real question that you ask when I lay all this information out is, why in the world do you network? Well, many, many jobs are not advertised, and they're never advertised. You learn about positions, companies, industries, career paths, current trends. You learn insider information that may never get put out to the public on one of the big job search sites. You get a sense of your fit within the field and the company, and you also gain confidence in your own ability to describe your interests and your skills and your values, which you're going to need as you apply for jobs. So you can articulate all of this in subsequent interviews, telling why you are the perfect candidate and why you can add value to a company. So understand that all of these hidden jobs are gems lying on the ground that people who are getting up every morning and looking through their newspaper, not to say that's not a really good job search strategy, but it's only one. And what you want are multiple job search strategies. There was a book about 20 years ago that came out by Robert Allen called Multiple Streams of Income. He said, don't depend on just one stream of income. Develop a number of them. And what I'm saying to you is, don't depend on just one job search strategy. If 80% of all jobs come from networking and personal marketing, then understand what networking is, all right? Now, there are a lot of reasons why people don't want to network. Some people say, oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to be rejected. And you know what my answer to that is? My answer to that is you say, next. I mean, you could be the absolute most wonderful peach in the world and somebody wants a banana. Happens all the time. All right. So with fear of rejection, you just need, the more you do it, the more you network and do it correctly, the more you're going to steer yourself toward the people who will appreciate your efforts. People are also very much afraid of failure. But remember, there isn't any failure when you set a goal appropriately. You want to gain exposure, you want to learn as much as possible, and you want to build relationships. That's what networking is. Now, you can't stay forever in networking without applying for jobs. But networking itself can give you very, very potent job leads. People are also afraid of sounding or appearing stupid. But look, these are very legitimate job search techniques. People do them all the time. If you're prepared, knowing yourself, knowing the industry, having intelligent questions to ask people, then you'll come away from each meeting that you have with additional contacts. People also fear bothering someone or taking up someone's time. But here's the answer to that one. I tell you always, and this is the way I've built my business as a psychologist, givers get. Givers get things back. Go out of your way to be appreciative and helpful. Send thank you notes. Clip and send articles. Send websites that might be healthy or helpful. Say, can I take you out to lunch to ask you a few more questions? One of the ways my partner and I get psychology jobs, okay, in other words, we're psychologists and we're looking for work, right? And one of the ways we do that is we go out to corporations and we offer to give them free wellness seminars. Now, will I get patients out of free wellness seminars? Sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. But I'm giving something to the organization and getting my foot in the door. I have to also say that one of the things my partner and I offer is for psychotherapy, a free individual consult. Now, about two-thirds of those don't turn into anything. About a third of them turn into referrals for our practice, and sometimes people don't take us up on the offer but refer somebody else who then comes into the practice. So you never quite know indirectly how networking is going to work, but givers always get. So go out of your way to be appreciative and helpful. Meanwhile, gathering a list of contacts that you put into a database. A lot of times people are very afraid of overstepping boundaries. Stay away from inappropriate questions. Don't ask somebody how much you make. Don't say, could you specifically help me with this particular thing in my job? Say something like, would it be all right if I call you with a few more questions? Even Alan Weiss, who's a top-notch millionaire consultant who wrote the book The Million Dollar Consultant, says that when he asks people, he is always very appreciative and says in many ways that he doesn't want to impinge on their time, and they're always grateful for his consideration. Would I be able to stop by for a few minutes at a time that's convenient for you? If it's convenient for you, could I give you the name of a person that I think might help you with that project? Always give, all right? The last fear is that you won't get a job. Lose this fear. Networking is very essential to job search. And even if you really don't like doing it, stick your toe in the water. Remember, the goal of networking is to gain contacts and information. It's not to get a job interview. So going at networking like that might give you more. I had a someone who came in to see me on job search. And not surprisingly, this person did an enormous amount of networking. But her networking wasn't working. And it wasn't working because when she was networking, she was not offering any help to anyone. She saw it as a business card swap where she would get people to look at her resume or give her tips. She gave very little back. Not surprisingly, her network attempts never led her anywhere. Because in networking, you give to get. All right, now let's talk for a minute about making your contact list in networking. Generate a list of everybody that you know personally and professionally. Think big. Put on some names that scare you. Don't discount someone just because you think he or she doesn't know anyone. Okay? Then categorize your list, most familiar to the least familiar. Start talking to your most familiar people on your list, and that way you get some experience at networking without the fear factor. Because you're not calling up somebody that you don't know. You're calling up people that you know. Start with people that you know the best. Create a file of contacts, and then you keep manageable records. For sure, you want at least their phone, their email, their snail mail address, and their position in the company. Then also in your contact list, you should use local hobby clubs. I've gotten a lot of psychology business and consulting business from the local figure skating club that I belong to. Use your alumni database from your college. Join professional associations or clubs. I belong to the Rotary, and I've gotten business through that. Read trade magazines and newspapers and contact the authors of some of the articles that you read. You'd be amazed how flattered they are to hear that you've read their article and really appreciate their point of view. I read an article one time. Someone was offering a seminar, and the information was at the end of the article. And I read the entire article, contacted him at the end, said how much I liked his work, could I sign up for a seminar. This person has become an invaluable mentor to me, very interested in my career, really helping me along. But if I hadn't contacted him, he would never have done that. Okay? Attend trade shows and conventions and attend local networking events. All right. Now, here's the $64,000 question that you can always ask somebody that you're networking that will make them feel flattered. All right? This will always make them feel flattered. And it gets you really valuable information. And the question is, what strategies would you be using if you were looking for a job in this field? Now, remember, you're saying this to someone who's successful, and you're approaching them knowing that they are successful, and it's like you're looking for their wisdom. So that is a question which people will invariably stop, pause, think about, and give you a pretty good answer if they're any kind of decent human being. What strategies would you be using if you were looking for a job in this field? And then the last tip in networking, and this is the tip of tips, maintain the connections. If you put them in some sort of a database, this is easy. If you don't put them in a database, it is impossible to maintain the connections.
Very good advice.
Any questions at all about networking, what it is, what it isn't, how you do it? Okay.
Come on,
great.
Guys.
Okay. Number five. Focus on just one or two types of jobs. This is really, I'm preaching to the choir here because you're all looking for PM jobs. But if you're customer service, look at customer service and sales. If you're tech support, just look at tech support and network management. It's difficult enough to be passionate about one or two positions. And remember that you're competing against people, especially in this job market. You're competing against people who know exactly what they want to do for a living and are very, very focused. And I will tell you that interviewers know right away whether a person is passionate about a position or not. It is so easy to tell. You can't be passionate about a whole lot of job positions. So focus on one or two types of jobs. You can focus on many companies, but one or two types of jobs that you feel really passionate about, because that passion will come out in your voice. The comment that I most get about the work that I do is, you're very passionate about your work, Sally. And I am very passionate about my work. And believe me, it makes a whole lot of difference in the way you're selling yourself. All right, now we're going to talk about your job search work and what you're doing. So you're reading, obviously you're doing networking, obviously you're going through the internet, looking at sites, you're putting your resume on company websites, you're applying for jobs. Then, number six, you're applying for positions that haven't been listed, called invisible positions. And by this I mean, identify a company that you would like to work for. Any company. Whether you like their approach toward guaranteeing safety of animals, whether you like the fact that they give great workers' compensation packages, whether they've been listed in the Forbes top 100 job sites for the past year, it doesn't matter. Just pick a country, one that you would like to work for, okay? And what you're going to do is apply for positions that haven't been listed, and here's how you're going to do it. Number seven. Once you've targeted the organization, you are going to research. And I recommend that even if you are organized on your computer, that you keep physical files on every job prospect. Why? Because they're easy to thumb through, look up information, make notations, etc. Now, here are a number of suggestions I would make for researching the company. Okay, and again, I'm going to give all of this information to Scott. I'm also going to send packets to anybody that sends me a phone call or an email. So I'll give you all of these, but it wouldn't hurt you to jot some of them down because you'll remember them. Research the company's website. Look at the company's sales literature. Look at the company's product brochures. Get on one of the financial sites and look at the company's annual reports. Buy the company's products. Research the company's competitors and see what share of the market they have and why. Look up any internet articles that you can find on the company. Don't neglect going to your local library looking for newspaper and magazine articles. Talk to people who work for the company and visit the company stores. Talk to customers of the company and take informal surveys. You can stand outside the door of an organization and say, "Excuse me, why are you shopping Jones, New York?" and get the answers. Survey 10 people, survey 20 people. It may not be statistically sound, but it is a survey, and surveys have great power, because I guarantee you, no one else who's applying for that job stood outside of a store and said, "Could you tell me, ma'am, why do you shop Jones, New York?" Then call the company's 800 number and analyze that experience. gather all of this information into a file, and then read over what you've learned. Take your time, and then you're going to do something with it that most people don't do when they're going on a job search. Now, they'll research the company's website, right? They may talk to people who work for the company, but they won't gather information from this many sources, they won't read it over carefully, and they won't synthesize it into some very cogent truths that can be backed up by what you've learned and how you've gained the information. Then you write an individualized cover letter. This is number 8. Write an individualized cover letter showing what you know in brief, concise terms, showing the results of your research and your surveys, how you can fix problems, and attach your resume. Jeffrey Fox, who's written a number of job search books, says a resume without a cover letter will line the bottom of a birdcage. Now, there's a lot of different folklore wisdom about what to do with that. One time I was in an organization and I said, skip human resources, go straight to the vice president of manufacturing or the vice president of sales. And there were a couple of human relations people in there who were really upset that I said that. However, I can tell you just in my own experience of working in the hospitals I've worked for that the human resources people aren't the ones who do the hiring. My boss is an MD. She does all the hiring. The resumes are supposed to go to human resources, but the person who makes the picks is her. And when I want somebody hired, I go directly to her. And everyone else on the inside knows that too. And the smart doctors who are working in that hospital as residents and want to come back, maintain touch with her. So there's somebody in the company that makes decisions, and it's not the person in human resources.
Absolutely. And if you, what I've heard, Dr. Sally, is you want to send your cover letter and your resume to the C-level person in the company.
That makes sense. Yes, the CFO, the CEO, right. Because don't forget, it's not just a resume. It's not just a resume and a cover letter saying, oh, please look at my resume. It's a resume saying, I've spent a whole lot of time looking at your company because I would like to work for your company. Now, once you've given those results, they can know that you haven't done that for 50 other companies. It takes too much time. Now you know what you're spending your job search on. And you know what? I'm not saying that you have to completely switch your job search strategy and do just this, but try this. Because what this does is it takes you head and shoulders above all of the other people who are going for jobs. And if there is a hidden job, you will be the person who's first in line for that if you're qualified. So in other words, you may not be, and I've given people this advice, and I've gotten emails back from them, and they said, you know what would happen? I applied for a job, I did everything you said, and I got, you're not going to get that job. And then, curiously enough, I had a couple bosses call me, a couple CFOs call me and say, would you please stay in touch? So over the next 6 months, I stayed in touch, and 8 months later, I got hired by that company. And they told me that it was the work that I did in the initial letter. That's why I got hired. So,
That's okay. They may make you go through, the gatekeeper just so that they can, do their diversity checks and all that kind of stuff. But not a hiring manager out there. If you're the do-all, end-all, there's not a hiring manager out there that's going to, say, don't hire this person because he came direct to me. They're not going to say it. If you're that person...
No, they're not going to say that. No. No.
Exactly.
No. And you got a reputation for being a real go-getter. And the truth is, we as human beings, we are all inside. We have so many psychological issues because none of us were raised by perfect parents. And the inside, there are many places in us that are bruised and alone. And we go at this without any confidence. And yet, managers say that that's the prime characteristic that they're looking for in people, confidence. Confidence, efficiency, professionalism, but confidence. They want people who are confident that they can do a good job. So ask the question, what value can I add to this company? What can I contribute? And then start researching until you see where your niche is and you see what you can contribute. All right? Give it to them in clear, cogent terms, and if it doesn't work with them, go on to another company. Because if those people don't see what you can give, others will. All right, I have two more things to go over here, and then we'll do any questions or any discussion that you want to. Number 9, tailor your resume and your cover letter to every single job offer. Remember, every job and every company are different, all right? And your resume should very clearly and persuasively answer not why I'm a good hire, but why this company should hire me in particular. Make sure that the material that you submit is position relevant. Now, I'm not saying make 98 resumes for 98 jobs, but you should have 3 or 4 versions of your resume. And you should use them appropriately. I'd say keep away from the personal, make it professional. See, managers tend to hire based on similarities. And if you say, for example, I'm very active in my Catholic church and da-da-da, if the person isn't a Catholic, he'll see that as a difference. Not that it's a bad thing at all. I'm just saying don't put it in your resume. Keep your resume business neutral, and then they can't find reasons how you are not similar to them. Keep it business neutral. Keep it position relevant. You know, of course, you're going to say married, two children, or you know, whatever. But you know, and certainly you can list business appropriate hobbies like golf. But you know, if you have a particular passion for hunting fruit flies in South Africa, don't put it. They'll see it as something that makes you different from them. Don't forget, and you know this, I think, use facts and incidents and numbers to reveal all of your good qualities, and concentrate your resume on the last 5 to 8 years. All right, any questions before I go on to number 10? This one's a little difficult sometimes for people to take, but I say it over and over and over again because it's true. You must sell yourself mentally, emotionally, and psychologically to every person you meet in the job process through the entire job process, and it takes a lot of work, meaning some of your job search time is going to be pressing your pants for the third time, making sure there's a good crease. Some of it's going to be spent going out to buy new cufflinks. Some of it's going to be spent polishing, putting a really good shine on your shoes. We live in a very narcissistic society. Your shoes, your hair, your suit, your nails, your weight, your presentation, your knowledge should all reflect upper class, young, energetic. I wish I could say that we lived in a society where people were valued for their true worth, but we don't. Your true worth will never be seen unless you shine like a new penny walking through the door. So if you have 20 pounds that you need to lose it now. If you don't want to spend $75 for a haircut, you're used to getting a $10 haircut, get the $75 haircut. If you don't want to buy a new suit, but your last one is threadbare, buy yourself a new suit. For one thing, it'll add to your confidence. But for another thing, it will add to your image. Carry a nice pen. Carry a nice briefcase or a nice leather folder. Make your image look classy, young, and energetic, because that is what sells. And if you don't believe that, look at all the commercials on television today. We live in a very narcissistic society. People are judged in the first 90 seconds by the appearance that they make.
I think that's very important advice. And I would carry it even further once you get into the job, okay? If you start showing up in torn jeans or your desk is a mess or you're unorganized, I mean, these are signs that you really can't do what you say you can do.
No, absolutely,
so, you know,
true.
It's not only once you getting the job, it's also keeping the job. It's also making yourself seen as the leader.
Right.
I've been told that when you go on an interview, you should take notes. But did you also know that you really should have like a nice fancy pen, opposed
yes.
to just, you know, a 99-cent thick ballpoint?
Yes, and we're not saying $90. It doesn't have to be a Mont Blanc, but
no.
It should be something that's like a $10 Parker or a nice silver or gold pen. Right? Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. So it's all image. It's all your marketing yourself. It's all branding yourself.
Right. Coco Chanel said, shoes are the barometer of elegance, right? She said that for women's dressing, but it's also true in the business world, that you need to have a nice pair of shoes.
Absolutely.
You need to have a nice suit. You need to have no dandruff anywhere. You need to have you need to be just bounding with energy.
Absolutely.
Because that's what's going to sell you in today's market.
It's very easy when you're in the job search, especially if you've been out for some time, to become depressed or sick. But if you go on an interview and there's, you know, two candidates and one's upbeat and perky and the other one's, you know, depressed and complaining and negative, which one do you think they're going to hire?
Right. Absolutely true. And if you do what we're Scott and Mike and I are advocating here, the truth is that sooner or later someone will see your worth and you will be hired. You know, it's not always going to happen the first time. You need to develop kind of a callous skin and let this roll off of you like Abraham Lincoln did. He lost 18 elections. 18 elections before he won the election for president of the United States. I mean, Albert Einstein failed math in the fifth grade. Thomas Edison was told that he would never amount to anything.
WD-40.
Yeah, right.
WD-40 was, you know, 39 failed attempts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Harry Potter, which made J.K. Rowling the richest woman in the world, was rejected by 7 or 8 publishers. So, and so was Chicken Soup for the Soul. So, you know, understand that the philosophy that we're giving you is not going to work on everyone, but it is going to work. You just have to be persistent, because the jobs are out there. And if you do what I'm telling you to do, it really will work.
I'd like to mention one other site, if I can, and that's the Department of Labor. If you go to the Department of Labor sites, there's a portion of it where you can look up the industries where people are let go, in New Jersey at least anyway, the industries that are hiring, the potential hiring for the next 2 years. Now, coincidentally, most of New Jersey is focused on healthcare and accounting and finance. So if you're doing something besides that, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder for you, but you can actually see where the jobs are actually coming and going. So that would be another valuable website.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Are there any questions out there? I'm sorry, Dr. Sally, were you finished?
Yeah, I have one more thing that I just wanted to tell you, that one of the best things that you can do, okay, develop a personal mantra that you tell yourself before you go in the door. This is just, psychologists are big on self-talk, and I have to tell you that this can make an enormous amount of difference. Be really positive about the contribution that you're going to make, and walk in the door saying your personal mantra, which is something, you know, when the going get tough, the tough get going, or, you know, let's hear it for the boys, or, you know, take something from a popular song lyric or something and make that what you say, never going to give up, when you walk in the door. In truth, all right, there is a perfect job out there for everyone. I've often said to people, if you look hard enough, you will find it. What I see so often is that people are blocked by their fears, and they're blocked by the voice in their head that says, it's not a good time, I really can't do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's most people. That doesn't have to be you. You can be the person who rises above that, and you can be the person who gets the job that other people envy. And most importantly, you can get the job that makes you financially comfortable, and that's what you deserve.
Do you have Do you have any good ways of, I found a perfect job where I had some very unusual qualifications that exactly matched a job requisition, and I can't get by the recruiter that holds the job ad, and I went on the. You finally divulged the company's name, and I won't go to the company website, and they actually have 4 positions open for this. It's a project management job, and I also have an engineering degree, and I had experience in engineering as a mechanical engineer. So, and they're looking for experience in 2 different industries, and I have both of them. And
Tom, I'd go right to that company's website and apply for those jobs. Any reason why you can't do that?
I don't want to get, I don't, you know, I don't want to upset the apple cart type of thing. And
What is it? His job is to be sending you for jobs. Does he think that they're out of your salary range or something?
No, he just says that the job is put on hold, and yet there are 4 positions open, and I think it's, you know, it's, why would the company have 4 positions open and put it on hold?
And when you say that to him, what does he say?
Oh, I'll send it to the company and see what they think. And now I'm having a difficult time getting a hold of them. So
him, the company?
Go right to the company.
I'll tell you what, I absolutely would. I would call Human Resources, first of all, and say, I've noticed this on your website. I've heard, you know, through the rumor mill, but that these positions are on hold. Can you give me a status as to them? You don't even have to say your name. And whatever they say, then I would, you know, a lot of times when I've worked with people who've worked with recruiters, I found that often the recruiter has a particular agenda or a particular type that he thinks will fill a particular job, but he's wrong. Okay, if you think that you have those qualifications and you fit that job, I would definitely make a track right around him and find a way to apply for those jobs.
Yeah, I do. They were looking for experience in both the Department of Defense and telecommunications, 2 different, and I have both.
You sound tailor-made for those positions.
Yeah, and I have an engineering degree in project management, and yet this guy says, well, I don't know. They were looking for people who worked on $5 million projects. I worked on a $1 billion project.
No. He's smoking something. Just get your resumes before the people who need to see them.
Yeah.
He's going to go home at night and not lose any sleep over the fact that he didn't put you into a perfect position. But that's not, you know, when you have a roadblock like that, you just have to go around it or through it. Unfortunately,
okay.
That's my advice to you.
Yeah,
life is just too short to be out there looking for a job when the perfect one is right under your nose and somebody won't make the connection.
I mean, there may be a reason why he's doing it, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, you know, who's responsible for you and your family?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean,
I heard some good advice to somebody. Keep going until somebody says to you, stop pestering me. And that's,
right.
Maybe that's what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's, and not just one job, Tom, but four. So
yeah.
If it were one job, you know, you might want to listen to him, but four? I mean, what he's saying just doesn't make any sense from what you've told me.
Yeah,
so I would
why
certainly,
would they put it on hold?
Right, I would certainly investigate that further and get your resume. And get an in that company, maybe talk to somebody at your level, ask if you can take them out to lunch and ask them a few questions or something like that. And you know, remember that old rule, 6 degrees of separation? There's 6 degrees of separation between you and the President of the United States or any other person in the world that you want to meet. Okay, so there's a way that you can get into that company to ask some questions about that job. I'm not sure what it is, but there is a way.
Well, Tom,
okay.
If you remember last month's call, we talked about LinkedIn. You know, find
LinkedIn, right?
Who's who works for that company?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not connected to him or her, then find somebody who is. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And good luck.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, Tom, it's very possible that the job is put on hold, but I think the best advice that you have is just call the HR and say, are these jobs active? Because
mm-hmm.
a hiring manager is not going to, if they have the opportunity to hire somebody, even if it was 3 months ago, they're not going to give up that hire. They're going to keep it there. And maybe it is temporarily put on hold. You know, so.
Well, I have my suspicions, too, because there's travel required to United Arab Republics, Emirates, Saudi Arabia. So how many people are you going to find that's willing to do that at this time, you know, this day and
right.
age, too? So,
true.
So, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Doesn't to us either.
And the job was originally located in one town, and the company is located in another. So I, from what the ad is stated. So there's too many fishy loose ends here.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the recruiter definitely wants to make money. Maybe he thinks he can make more money with a different candidate. I mean, that's
maybe
all kinds of things, you know, or maybe he doesn't feel that you're qualified or maybe he doesn't think you're going to interview well. But when it comes right down to it, if you think this is the job for you, you're responsible to put food on the table for your family.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I agree, Scott.
You know, so, you know, that you really need to CEO of me, they call that.
he did ask
or your family's, your family's your board of directors.
He did ask me my salary requirements. I was a contractor in my last position. I gave them, I know you shouldn't, but I gave it to him freely just to be cooperative with him. And it just ended.
There's mixed feelings. I personally, if you know what you're worth, I really don't have a problem with it. I don't think you should, you know, bring it up, hey, you know, how much you're going to pay me and how many weeks vacation do I get? But if you know what you're worth, you know, don't say that I'm worth, you know, whatever, $85,100.
I have an excuse around that. I told them that's what I was paid in my last position. Now, if this requires me to go to the Middle East, that's a different story. And I can always say, well, now that I have a better understanding of the position, I think that my compensation
right.
should be such and such or whatever.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So I can always look to have a different an out of that. So I'm
right.
But so I was totally willing with him. Whatever he asked me, I gave it freely and openly and immediately.
Yeah. Well,
you know, all that was post all that he gave to me and just didn't add up and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, your first answer should be, you know, listen, I'm really, you know, I'm interested in the job and I'm, you know, I would really like to get a grasp of the full responsibility that is going, you know, that's going to take when you bring me on board, you know, and leave it at that. And if they push, then you can give a range. And I would say, you know, based on my research, you know, and you can do research like on salary.com or monster.com, you can do research about salary and say, listen, you know, from what I understand with my research, this job should pay somewhere between, you know, X and X. And my suggestion for X and X would be, you know, your minimum would be the bottom line, and then 7% above that would be your middle, and then 15% of that would be your, you know, your max. That's what I would suggest.
My resume is in very good shape. I have plenty of pars in it, and I had a T cover letter, you know, that said what the company is looking for, what I pulled out of the job description, and I demonstrated how I already have done that type of thing as a perfect match. And I provided that all to him, and it didn't go anywhere.
No, Tom, as Admiral Farragut would say, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't want to take everybody else's time up here.
Okay. No, but that's it. Any other questions?
Anybody else? Yep.
Yeah, I have a question. This is Venkat.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, you are telling me go to Indeed. When I go to Indeed and make a search, it is telling me, it is taking me to a particular site, say, for example, Dice. And in the Dice, what I'm seeing is they just apply it online, and they are not giving their contact details. In case I have sent about 30, 40 resumes submitted like that, and there is no response. How to deal with this particular situation?
There's not. You know what? They go into cyberspace, and the truth is that personal contacts are always better. That's one of the reasons why only 30% of the jobs come from the internet. When you send your resume out there, it's viewed and a lot of times simply ignored, which is one of the reasons why the personal networking and marketing is so very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Another one is
the particular situations where I'm finding it. There are candidates, and they know that I have that ability and the technical knowledge, and what they're doing is, hey, this is our guy who is recruiting. Can you talk to him? And when I'm talking to him, what I'm finding is at the end, they are getting into the specifics, and they're asking, how did you do that? How did you do? Looks like to me like it is I am mentoring them or I am tutoring them.
Sounds like it.
And it might be there. Those are the guys who are the candidates who will finally take the interview, and whatever they've learned it from me, they may spit it out.
Yes, so I wouldn't. I just keep my mouth shut.
One of the other possibilities you could do, Wankit, is if you go to Dice or wherever the lead is coming from, cut and paste a key phrase into, like, Google. All right, and see if maybe another website might be advertising that might be a little bit more.
No, that's a good idea.
You know, but yeah, you got to find
it. I have done it with a couple of other networking guys, which you're talking about, Me Inc. and all, the guys with ETP and all who are involved there. We both together went over and we have found that, but I'm losing time there.
Well, absolutely, and you got to pick and choose your battles, you know. And the other thing is, you know, if you're looking for, if it says that it's a pharmaceutical company in Morris Plains, well, there's probably a good chance that it's Johnson & Johnson, you know, or, you know, it's Bristol-Myers, you know, if it's somebody down, I forget where Bristol-Myers is, you might be able to find it that way, you know, and it's research, you know, so...
By the time I complete my research, the position is filled because, as I know that, many of the positions which are posted, they are alive for 3 days. After 3 days, they will not accept any applications.
Well, you know, a lot of people, and this is probably another conversation, is they do more of a targeted type job search. You know, so right now what you're doing is you're looking for people that are hiring, and 1,000 people are applying for those same jobs.
Right.
And what you should be doing or consider doing is finding a place where you want to work.
Scott, you and I know each other. You know my specific about my experience and qualifications, and you will not find many people into the area where I am working, and there are many jobs available for that.
I understand that, but you're applying to... you know, the same job that everybody
jobs.
Else is applying to.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to work for, give me a company you want to work for. Do you have
it is not anywhere, wherever the IT industry and wherever they're implementing ERP.
No. Give me a company that you want to work for.
Scott, I'll not agree with you. The reason is I'm an implementer because my specific jobs will be wherever they're implementing people's software. Then only the need arises. Otherwise, there is no specific. Say, for example, I worked for E&Y for 3 years. Now there is no requirement for them. with people's app.
Absolutely. I understand that. But if you, you know, if there's other companies like Ernst & Young that you want to work for, I mean, I understand you can work for anybody that does PeopleSoft, you know, but if you had a product to sell, if you were selling a widget, okay, you're now you're wank at the salesman, how would you find a customer for your...
That's what, for me, as you asked, I don't have any targeted customer. I don't have any targeted company. Wherever they're implementing, those are the companies where I'll be searching, and I need to send out my resume to them.
I understand that. But again, if you were going to sell widgets, how would you sell the widget? How would you find a company? You would say, I can sell it to anybody? Well, not everybody's going to buy your widget.
Yeah, wherever the need is, there only I'm selling it.
Okay.
But
how would you find out?
Is, okay. As I told you, the problem is...
Second. How would you find out who was going to buy widgets this year?
Because there is a way to find out. I know where my product can be sold. I'll go to them and try to sell it. But the hitch is, those guys, they'll not directly buy the product. I need to go through a vendor. The vendor is this recruiter.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that there's only one recruiter out there that's servicing all
people.
There's
not recruiters. There are a couple of recruiters, and to find out who are the major recruiters for sale, for example, Ernst & Young, which we are in the discussion with them. While I was working there, I know about 8 people. Right now, they downsized those 8 people, and there are about 4 people now.
Obviously, you're not going to be able to go to Ernst & Young right now. But I have to imagine that there's other people. PeopleSoft is very popular. You know, there's got to be other people out there, other companies out there.
PeopleSoft is very popular. Looking at the economy, nobody is implementing any projects or nobody is going for any upgrade.
I agree. Everybody's pulling back. And it becomes, now it becomes, you know, a harder sell. Now it becomes harder work.
Yeah, that is the reason why I'm playing in a different way. Like, because with my business background, I'm able to, because I'm a project manager and a business analyst, mm-hmm. Now I'm playing in both the areas, wherever the regular business.
Absolutely.
Versus wherever the possibility of a project management, I'm going there.
Yes.
Okay.
But Tom has explained, the same situation is kicking on. I don't know. It's a particular situation. There's a particular timing, or I don't know why it's happening like that.
It's not
only me. It's not only the specific problem what I'm discussing with you. These are the brainstorming done by a couple of people. Daily we meet together and we keep discussing, and everybody is having the same kind of issues.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know it's hard out there. I mean, I was out for a year and a half myself. I know how difficult it is. You know, I think I have, a little bit of hindsight, where some of these things that sessions like this with Dr. Ryan and other networking sessions, I tried to listen to it 4 years ago and I didn't believe him. Nah, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. But now, I'm very grateful where I am. I'm happy that I got my feet back under me. But when I look to the steps that got me there, it was me going out and finding somebody, that was willing to hire me. That's really what got me there.
Yeah.
It wasn't going through the job board. When I started, I was doing 8 hours on the job boards.
Yeah, instead of 8 hours, I can tell that I'm working more than that, like almost nearing to 11 to 12 hours a day.
On the computer?
The bottom line, the result is zero.
Are they on the computer?
Yep.
Well, see, I think if you think about, what it takes, and Dr. Sally, help me out here, what percentage of jobs are found off the Internet?
Not only on the Internet. No, you're talking about the Internet. It's not Internet search. Internet search, what I send it is just 30%. I do a lot of networking. I'm into various networking.
What about trade shows?
Trade shows, I have gone, and IT trade shows. Many of the people, they have taken the resumes, and I'm keeping following with them. And the result is they're telling that we'll come back to you.
Yeah, it's a slow period for what you're selling.
It is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It really is.
Excuse me. This is Manish.
Yes, Manish.
Yesterday, I had one of the other recruiters whom I'm working with had sent me a requirement for a PeopleSoft upgrade project manager.
Okay.
if you could send me, give me your email ID, I could send you the details and maybe...
My email ID is C for Charlie, V for Victor, R for Robert, Kumar, K-U-M-A-R, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
I'll again repeat it, C-V-R-K-U-M-A-R, at yahoo.com.
I'd like to make it, you know, this gentleman's trying to help you.
Yes.
So what I would suggest is maybe you could take his email address.
Yeah, I have Manish's email address because last time also he is on the call, and he has posted his resume into one of the Yahoo groups. I have seen it, Manish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would suggest that you send him an email and make it easier for him to help you.
Yeah, that I'll do it, Scott. That's for sure I'll do it. Because usually I'm good at follow-up because as a that's one of the success of my project management also.
Okay, I'm going to have to get off because I actually have a 10:30 patient, but I just want to give you again my email address and my phone number. My phone is 908-782-5989. And if anybody wants to contact me, feel free. My email address, drsally1 at comcast.net. And
can you tell me a little bit slow? DRSS?
DRSALLY, Dr. Sally, 1, just the number 1, at comcast.net.
Okay.
And I wish you all enormous luck in your job search.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
I think it was an excellent call, Dr. Sally. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much, Scott. Take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
All right, you bet. Bye-bye.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.